Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the I Fucking Love This Movie podcast. I'm your host, Andy. This might be my most controversial episode. I don't know. And controversial in the context of taste. Today's episode is going to be on the classic movie from 2001, Freddy Got Fingered, directed by Mr. Tom Green. I mean, it's no secret. I fucking love this movie. That's obviously why it's a podcast episode. So, like I said, might be a controversial episode as far as in the context of tastes. Because not too many people like it. I think me and probably like four other people that I know like this movie. And we'll get into that later. So, we'll have a little intro before we get on with the episode. I'm real thirsty. I didn't drink water for like 2 hours. So if you hear me bounce out, I'm drinking some water. Drinking some liquid death. Good stuff. So before we dive into the program, I'd like to thank everybody for checking out my podcast after I launched it on Instagram and I made it official on my personal Facebook. Thank you for everybody for checking it out and the kind words and the kind feedback. You know, I thrive on that kind of stuff. You know, what do you want? What do you want to hear? Like, what kind of stuff do you want me to dive into? I mean, I don't know unless you tell me. So, you know, just comment on my Instagram, which is on my, I don't know it right off the top of my head. That's the kind of host I am. But it is located on my Anchor page. I highly recommend checking that out and giving that a like. I, you know, put movie stuff on there and, like, clues on what the next episodes are going to be. It's, you know, trying to make it a real fun time. And I definitely left a guess for this episode on my Instagram a couple days ago. And my buddy, shout out to Adam for getting that. So I got a piece of constructive criticism the other day about my show. And I was talking to an old friend of the family. I've known this woman for years. Shout out to Lori. Lori and I were just talking about life, you know. I mean, she's kind of had a rough bout with cancer, which she's cancer-free now. You know, I'm so happy to hear that. You know, we were talking. And, you know, she was asking me what I was doing. I told her, and, you know, I mentioned the podcast. She's like, your podcast is great. It's real legit. But outline some stuff. Like, have, like, kind of like a table of contents, you know. Outline your stuff. You know, she's like, it's kind of hard for me to kind of do that. But, like, I mean, if you want your show to be better, you know, just outline some stuff. You know, write down what you're going to talk about. And, Lori, if you're listening, I did take your advice, and I wrote down some stuff. Whether it's going to work in a nice, orderly fashion, it's anybody's guess. But that's another thing I'd like to remind people of. You know, I there's something here. I have something here with this. Either I'm crazy or I just believe in myself. But I have something here with this podcast. Like, everybody was, like, championing me. They're like, dude, this is awesome. I'm glad you're doing this. And that keeps me going, like, the encouragement. That gives me the drive to keep doing this. And the one thing I wrote down is, like, you know, you constantly have to work on your craft no matter what you're doing. You know, whether you're podcasting, vlogging, stand-up comedy, music, movies, art, you know, whatever. Like, you constantly have to work on your craft. And the one thing I tend to forget, and I'm probably not the only one, is, like, you have to keep working on it. You're not going to get better. You're not going to perfect it if you don't work on it. You know, you're, like, I'm three episodes in, you know. I were to do this, like, 6 years ago. I'd be like, oh, I didn't get the reaction I wanted. Got to work, man. You got to put your time in. You just can't stop. So, you know, like I said, constructive criticism really helps. And it wasn't even constructive criticism. It was just kind of like, you know, can I make a suggestion? You know, those help too. So, like I said, you know, feedback is always important. So let's get into it. But so I tend to ramble and I do apologize, but you're more than welcome to fast forward. I will not be offended. As far as films are concerned, comedies are my cinematic vice. They're my go-to. I love comedies. I even love, like, current comedies, and that surprises people. Like, when me and my wife are having, like, date nights in the house, I hate having to be stricken with the honor of picking the movie out, because my wife's like, you watch really terrible shit, dude. You watch some pretty shitty movies. And I'm like, yeah, that's up for debate, but, you know, I'll just take your word for it. So the one thing I always do, like, when she asks me to pick the movie out after she's like, I don't care, just pick something, I always go to a comedy movie because, like, comedy movies are kind of safe. You know, everybody loves to laugh. Everybody loves a comedy movie, you know, obviously because everybody loves to laugh. And I love them for that reason, too. And the reason I never stop watching comedy movies, I love watching current comedy movies, is like I like to see what's funny. I like to know what people are joking about. I like to know what the humor climate is. Like, what's funny? Like, what are people joking about? Like, what's the most edgiest thing, like, a character in this movie is going to say? Like, that always has intrigued me from a young age. And that's one of the reasons I still love comedies. And another side note, when I lived in my dad's basement, don't act like you're surprised I was a basement dweller for, like, 5 years. But to be fair, my dad was, like, the coolest landlord you could ever have. Shout out to my dad. I got so lazy, I separated all my movies and by genre, because I was like, I'm not putting this shit in alphabetical order. That's going to take too much time. I put them by genre, and, like, I had more comedies than anything, which surprised me. But, like, truth be known, man, like, when I have a rough day or, like, I'm having a rough time or I'm dealing with some rough shit, you know, I'd like to pull a comedy movie on, watch and laugh and kind of forget about my troubles or, like, you know, forget about the bad day I had. Or ever. So yeah, I love to laugh, and laughing's good. That's one of the things I like to do, and I hope I make people laugh. I love making people laugh. So with that said, you know, comedies are my cinematic vice or my go-to. This movie was released, I think, 2001, and comedies at that point from 2000 on were getting back on track. The comedy movies of the 2000s are probably some of the greatest, and I actually wrote some down because I was at work today, and, you know, I get my first cup of coffee before I go to work, and then I start drinking coffee, you know, while I'm at work, which, side note, getting old sucks because I had to give up, like, I had to, like, cut my coffee consumption down. So, yeah. So, like, the 2000 comedies, like, it just felt like they were on the fast track. After the whole gross-out genre kind of dissipated, and we'll get into that later, it just seemed like they were right on track. I mean, you had stuff like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Superbad, Old School, Bam Margera's Haggard, which is kind of like not a cult movie, Grandma's Boy, Pineapple Express, Accepted, Anchorman, The Hangover, Waiting, Borat, Bad Santa, A Dirty Shame. I think A Dirty Work may have came out in 2000. I'm not too sure. Tropic Thunder. Like, it seemed like comedy was on the fast track because... Let's go back to the late 70s. I mean, Animal House comes out. One of the first raunchy comedies I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, there was Blazing Saddles, but, like, Animal House took it to a whole other level. And then, you know, that kind of influenced the movies of the 80s. I mean, you had Caddyshack and the first Vacation movie, which was one of my all-time favorite films. But in the 80s, it was, like, raunchy comedies and then, like, the raunchy teen comedies. And then you'd have some sophisticated fare in there, like A Fish Called Wanda and, like, Soap Dish. I'm assuming Soap Dish is a sophisticated movie. The cover looked like a sophisticated movie. And then the 90s came and it, like, had this weird divide. You had, like, the PG-13. Mainly, most comedies that I remember from that time were, like, PG-13. You know, simply because the studios are, like, oh, the theater owners are cracking down on this whole, like, you know, under 17 shit that the rated R logo has. You know, we might want to get, if we want more asses in those theater seats, we might want to do PG-13 stuff. And there's a lot of casualties from that era that had to trim their stuff or just didn't get to make the movie that they wanted simply because of studio politics. And, you know, the ratings board's not fun to deal with, but you still had good movies from that point. I mean, you had, all the SNL movies, you know, Billy Madison, that wasn't really an SNL movie, but it had Adam Sandler in it. I mean, you had let me rephrase that. You had the SNL movies from a sketch or for people like the cast members at that time. And that 90s cast, like the early 90s cast of SNL, unfucking touchable, man. Like, they were just awesome. You know, that I have a soft spot for that era of SNL because I remember watching reruns of those just over and over again, you know, growing up. So you had the PG-13 comedies, and a lot of good stuff came out of that. You know, Billy Madison, Airheads, PCU, a bunch of stuff. I'm drawing a blank. I put myself on the spot. Happy Gilmore, Tommy Boy, Wedding Singer, a lot of the Adam Sandler stuff. I named way more Adam Sandler movies than I'm surprised I did. Coneheads, that's obviously. But, yeah, a lot of great stuff, a lot of good PG-13 stuff. And I remember the rated R stuff was, like, really sophisticated, like, adult-oriented stuff. Like, you know, you watch a Miramax movie, it's like, oh, I forget the movie. It had Alec Baldwin in it. And he was like the wisecracking, wise ass dad that lived in Rhode Island. You had stuff like that. Like Gross Point Blank, High Fidelity. I think that was more of a drama movie. I'm not going to even name that one. But stuff like that. I mean, you had like the, like I said, the, it was like this divide. You had the PG-13 comedy, and then you had like the sophisticated, like R-rated adult oriented comedies and stuff. I mean, you had Kingpin too, which was pretty raunchy for the time. And then later on in the decade, before the new millennium hit, you had the gross out genre, and like more people were adept to doing like R-rated comedies. I mean, Kevin Smith was doing R-rated comedies. You know, he had done Clerks, which was, and that's a pretty sophisticated movie, even though, like, you know, the whole 37 gag, you know, it's, you know, and then Mallrats, he did Mallrats, which was really funny and whatnot. And then, you know, Chasing Amy was pretty much more or less to me a drama movie. I mean, it was funny. Some of it was funny, but it was pretty much like a drama movie. And then I can't not forget, you know, Dogma. Dogma was pretty harsh, but it wasn't like raunchy, you know. The material provided some of the subject matter and the dialogue for it to be that kind of, you know, for what it was. But in the late 90s, you had like the R-rated comedies were making a comeback. You know, I mean, and it started with There Was Something About Mary, where I think that really catapulted it. It's like, oh, you can make a raunchy comedy and it make a lot of money. But we'll get back to that. So before we get into the Freddy Got Fingered, we have to talk about the man behind Freddy Got Fingered, Mr. Tom Green. I knew him like all of my other friends knew him. He had the funniest show on MTV, and if you were a fat, awkward band geek in middle school, you just gravitated to him. And I did that a lot growing up because, you know, I was shy. I'm still awkward. I was weird. And I gravitated towards comedians because something in my mind was like, they got to be weird too if they can go out in public or be on TV and do and say some of the shit that they do and be cool with it, you know? And to me, that always intrigued me, and that's kind of why I gravitated to him. And I absolutely love the Tom Green Show. It's one of my favorites. And the Tom Green Show, I think, was pretty much more or less an extension of his Canadian show. I got his Canadian stuff. Yeah, I'm looking right at it on DVD. I need to pick up his MTV stuff. It had been years since I seen that, but I remember laughing my ass off during that show. And like something I used to do in school, I think everybody did it, is like if you could like recite somebody's like stand up bit or like reenact like something you saw like on the Tom Green Show, you're like, you were funny, you were cool. You know, and you gotta think, this is 1999, 2000, you know, viral video is not like, is we got at least another decade for that kind of shit. You know, Jackass was just on the cusp of being a thing. So I mean, that's that, you watched MTV and SNL and stuff to get your comedy fix, and I mean Comedy Central too. I mean, you can't leave Comedy Central out. And of course the movie networks having stand-up specials, that's how you got your comedy back then. You didn't go on your Facebook and look at the memes and viral videos and stuff. I mean, this was the 90s, man. Late 90s, 2000s. And you know, like I said, the show was a huge hit. I remember the show being a huge hit. Like, he was everywhere, and I absolutely loved every minute of it. I mean, hell, I'd watch TRL. And I remember watching the Bum Bum song, which, for the record, my 7-year-old loves that song. And I also remember when he went on TRL and he retired it early because he didn't want to upset like NSYNC and stuff, which was a pretty album move, Tom, I will admit. So like, and at that point, oh, I gotta switch notes. I have like I wrote two sets of notes. I wrote like notes, like I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll say this and stuff. And then I wrote an outline again. Thank you, Lori. So he had done a few movies at that point. The first one I remember seeing him in was Superstar, back to SNL. Superstar, which was for those of you who don't know, Molly Shannon did the skit of this really awkward, like, Catholic schoolgirl, and she always just did like musical numbers and dance, and she was like Superstar, that was her thing. For those of you that don't know, not my favorite SNL movie, it's kind of predictable, but that was the thing I loved about SNL movies, and I still do, is like some of them are really good and you're like, okay, like for instance, like Wayne's World, all right, that's really good, that that warranted a sequel. We should make a Wayne's World 3. Like, that's all I'm saying. You can make a Bill and Ted 3 and a Coming to America sequel. Dude, you can totally do a Wayne's World sequel. It would work. I even have a pitch for it. So it was back to Superstars. So there was a scene, because she's a Catholic schoolgirl, they're going to a Catholic school, and there's a scene at lunch, and there's this dude that just has these two bowls of salad. He's like, "You want some salad? You want some salad?" And I remember sitting there watching, we rented it. I don't think we went and saw that in the theater. I was like one of the few SNL movies I didn't see in the theater. I mean, aside from The Ladies Man, because that was rated R. And I'm sitting there looking, and my mom's like, "Was that Tom Green guy you watched?" I was like, "I don't know." So I remember rewinding it, and that scene, it was Tom Green, that was signature goatee. So I remember seeing him in that, and he was in Road Trip, which I think was 1999, 2000 maybe. Hell, it may have been later. I don't remember, but how I remember it was before Freddie got fingered. And then he was in the Charlie's Angels movies, the first and Full Throttle, which I absolutely love. I have not seen the reboot. I will get there. Like, I loved the Charlie's Angels movies so much. They were fun movies, and those are two examples of, like, you know, I can watch something totally artsy and serious, like a Werner Herzog movie, and then I could turn around and watch something fun like Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle. Charlie's Angels and Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. I need to watch this again. I have those. So, and I grew up watching them. I think I wore my dad's copy out because I loved that movie so much. I mean, what other movie can you have like the opening and then you hear Korn's Blind and then jumps into Motley Crue's Live Wire? I mean, name another movie where you get that kind of mashup. And the Korn one, I have an explanation for why that Korn, the Blind was in there. It was because Mick G, who directed the first Charlie's Angels, was a music video director before he became into feature films. He went and did feature films, and he also did a Korn documentary called Who They Now, which is hysterical. Like, I highly recommend the Who They Now. I think that's what it's called. Who Then Now? Who They Now? I don't remember. And then Deuce. Those are good. Like, that DVD fucked me up, though, like, because it was like this labyrinth and shit. But yeah, Mick G directed the first. I want to say he did the second one, too. He directed a bunch of music videos. He did the Got the Life music video, I think, and a couple others, I think, from Korn. And then he jumped into features. And he did Terminator Salvation, which I think gets shit on quite a bit, but I thought it was great. I thought Christian Bale, mild, you know, aside the outburst he had on that shoot, did a pretty good John Connor. So, that was the dream back in the day. You know, you direct music videos, you're in the feature film. I miss that, honestly, about, you know, the industry. You know, somebody's like, "Oh, this is your first feature. What did you do?" "Oh, I did music videos." Music videos are an art form altogether. I'm rambling. Let's get back to topic with Tom Green and film. So he was in the first Charlie's Angels. He played Drew Barrymore's slightly love interest, Chad. Was it the Chad? Maybe. So I remember seeing him then. I remember just being overjoyed seeing Tom Green. I mean, you know, first of all, I'm watching, you know, Charlie's Angels with three of the most beautiful actresses ever. And then Tom Green just appears. I get Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, the genius of Bill Murray, Tom Green cameo, and I hear a Korn and Motley Crue song. I was having the best 90 minutes of anybody. So I saw him in that, and like I said, he did Road Trip. I want to say he did Road Trip before Freddie got fingered. And then somebody thought it was a bright idea to just give Tom Green his own movie, which is funny because like at his point in his career, it was like, okay, you're either going to be like everybody else and just do comedy movies, or they're going to give you a movie that you write. You may not direct, but you're right. And the dude ended up writing and directing his own movie. And I remember that was just like a big deal. They're like, "Oh my God, what are they doing?" And it's kind of fun. The real genius behind Freddy Got Fingered that I don't think people realize or may, I don't know, is, you know, all right, 20th Century Fox and Regency Pictures helped finance this movie. Regency has done like some pretty awesome movies. None I can name off the top of my head. I think they did Heat. And I think they did Robin Hood, Princess Thieves, which I tried watching because my wife's a huge Yellowstone fan, and we all know the Costners in that movie. So they did, like, really good movies. Like, they didn't really do anything too offbeat. And they did True Romance. So they did these really nice, awesome, iconic films. They you know, they're a production company for these films, and then they do Freddy Got Fingered. And then let's go back to 20th Century Fox and kids. This was before Disney owned 20th Century Fox, so they were their own film company. And at that point, so let's say I'm not too sure the timeline of events. So like I think the movie got released in 2001. Excuse me. Movie got released in 2001, so let's say like this all started maybe in 2000, maybe early 2001, depending on when the movie was released. And at that point, 20th Century Fox had just rebooted the Star Wars franchise. We're talking the prequels, or the Attack of the Clones is in the middle of being made at this point. They didn't fucking need Tom Green, but they're like, you know, we'll give Tom Green $18 million and he can go do whatever he wants. And I remember there's really no interference from them. But before we go on, I just think the real genius part is Tom Green's like, these dumbasses who the house of Star Wars, the home of Star Wars, is giving me $18 million to do pretty much a more bigger production of what I do on MTV. All right. You know, Tom Green was like Tom Green knew it. I think Tom Green had an idea of what he was getting into. Like, these guys are stupid. Are you serious? You're gonna give me a bunch of money to pretty much do. You're pretty much giving me more money to do what I do on TV. But, like, all right, I'll do it. Like, Tom Green was, like, the real genius. He knew what he was doing. He's just like, these guys have no idea what they're in for. So, I remember production. I mean, there was obviously a buzz. It was the Tom Green movie. I remember the buzz about it. But, like, nothing really all that controversial. They were more worried about Tom Green being an insurance liability because he wanted to do his own stunts. And there's obviously some pretty dangerous shit in this movie. I mean, he skateboards. A house falls on him and whatnot. But he got it finished. I don't really think it was ever budget or, like, over schedule. He got a budget. And I heard the first cut was, like, the score of it was darker and the soundtrack was different, like the actual like song soundtracks, which for the record, I shit my pants when I first seen it because I finally heard a Sex Pistols song in a movie. I never heard a Sex Pistols song in a movie. That was like a band you didn't put in a movie, like a part of the soundtrack. That was just a band you just didn't do. Like, not because they were terrible. I love the Sex Pistols. They're one of my all-time favorite bands. But like, I was just kind of like, I was like, are they just dangerous or like, you can't really, like, you can't fit one of their songs into a scene. And it was the beginning scene, and Problem starts playing. I was like, what is going on? And it's not Anarchy in the UK or God Save the Queen. It's not a signature tune. It's Problems. I was like, dude, this is, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then years later, I found out that they did a Dead Kennedys. I just now noticed the Dead Kennedys song when he's about ready to cash that check in the movie. I noticed their cover of I Fought the Law, which people are like, oh, they covered The Clash. No, The Clash covered somebody else. Fun fact. So, like I said, the first cut of the movie, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize about that technical difficulty. I ran out of battery. I like to be mobile when I do podcasts. I don't like to be, I don't like to rely on a power source, so that's why I just do them with batteries, and I do apologize about that. Hopefully the audio joiner I have on my computer will make it seem like it was all that bad. So we were talking about the first cut, like I said, darker score, some of the soundtrack songs were different and put in different places, a little bit longer, and then I guess the first, like this, the screening for the studio heads went really smooth. And I guess the guy from Regency, I watched a clip of Tom Green before I did this podcast. Actually, I watched several clips of Tom Green before I did this podcast. It was fun. That's the fun part about doing these. Like, I research, and like now I'm going to do more research. Like, back then I just winged it. I was like, I watched this 2 days ago. It's still fresh in my mind. No, it's not. Tom Green said, like, the first cut, the head of Regency, like, went up to him, hugged him, and was like, that was probably the best first cut I've ever seen. Congratulations, we're going to do good business. And then they took it to a test audience. I think a test audience is useless. Like, I don't even think they do them anymore. I just think a studio makes a movie and they're just like, people will see it. But back in the day, most movies are subject to like a test audience and like a market research screening, which I think is stupid. Like who gives a shit what I think about a movie? Like, you know, like, I mean, who cares? Who cares what like a complete stranger thinks about like a movie that's about ready to come out? Like, what do they know? Like, you know, and it's kind of scary that like these studios trusted like complete strangers with, you know, the fate of a movie. It kind of baffles me. It makes me think too, like, what if like some of these iconic movies would have been better had it not had a test screening? Or like, are some of the movies I don't like that I feel are terrible, which aren't too many, would have been better had a test screening? Not like, it just kind of, it makes you wonder. So the test screening didn't go good, and it may, to me, the audience for that test screening seemed like it was mainly people who either never heard of Tom Green and didn't like him after they found out who he was, or people that just didn't like Tom Green. But like, I want to say a small percentage of were like actual Tom Green fans in that audience. So he recut it and all sorts of stuff, and it eventually got released intact. I don't think he cut too many out, but I would like to see like an alternate cut of it, like his cut, his initial first cut of it, because I don't really think it was all that bad from what has been described. So the movie ended up getting released, obviously. I didn't see it during its first theatrical run. I saw it 3 years later. I remember my friends saw it, because the guy I mentioned earlier, Adam and his sister Jessica are dear friends of mine, and Rita, shout out to Rita, shout out to Jessica too. Rita showed up at the story that I remember, I could be wrong, and if any of you are listening to this and I'm wrong about this, please correct me. I want to say Rita just showed up to the theater and just bought everybody's ticket and left. Like, it's just a damn movie. What are they going to do? Like, really, they're just seeing a damn movie. They're not doing anything wrong. And I remember thinking how cool Adam and Jessica's mom were, because my mom would have been like, well, if they're not going to let you in, you don't need to see it that damn bad. And, kept thinking how cool Rita still is, and how sad I was because I couldn't see it and I couldn't be in on the like the inside jokes they had because they quoted that movie. And I was not jealous. I was just in awe that like a parent was that cool to like buy tickets for everybody, because you know all my friends, the group that we used to run around, like I used to run around with, hang out with, like they were all under 18. So, and then one bad reaction I do have to mention before I go on and go even further is my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law saw it and they just walked out. They're like, that was the worst fucking movie. Shout out to Ashley and Brad. They're like, that was like one of the worst fucking movies we've ever seen. I was like, really? They're like, back in the day when we paid to go see a movie in the theater, we stayed for that shit. Like, we couldn't with that. That was just terrible. I'm like, really? And I ended up questioning my own taste in films. Like, obviously I love it because, like I said, I'm doing a podcast about it. But the movie wasn't a big success. Tom Green had like the best theory about it, though. He tends to think that they probably made a little bit more money, but people were buying, like underage kids were buying tickets to go see the Crocodile Dundee movie that was out. I want to say Crocodile Dundee in Hollywood was out. They were buying tickets for that and going to see Freddy Got Fingers, which is a very smart tactic. Does anybody even movie hop anymore? Or, because I never did it. I'm curious. Poll question. I didn't see the movie until 3 years after its theatrical release. I remember when I saw it, I was my brother was at my mom's house and I was at my dad's house. And an unspoken divorce rule is like the other siblings at the other parents for the weekend and it's just you get his video rental. So we went to Blockbuster. My dad's like, you can rent whatever you want. And at this point, my dad kind of lifted the iron curtain, so to speak, because like my dad was pretty strict on what I watched. And then he kept seeing the garbage I would come home with from like media play and whatnot. He's like, dude, I give up. You watch some of the most terriblest things I've ever seen. Terriblest. I don't even think that's a word. I just made it up. He's like, you watch some of the worst shit I've ever seen. So like, I'm just done. I can't, just watch whatever you want. Watch all the garbage you want. So I remember I rented Freddy Got Fingered, and then I rented A Clockwork Orange, and that was the first time I had seen both of those movies. And I remember sitting down watching Freddy Got Fingered, and I was more excited to watch A Clockwork Orange, but I had this weird ritual thing. Like, I was like, I need to watch Freddy Got Fingered first. Just kind of psyched myself to watch Clockwork Orange. Just what if it is terrible? Because my dad had seen A Clockwork Orange and said it was, like, terrible. And at that point, I was kind of starting to, like, teeter off his opinion. Because, you know, you have to listen to your parents. I mean, they're your parents. They can't be full of shit. And I just remember my dad just having an opinion on stuff like that. I was like, yeah, he's probably right. And I just was, I was nervous, but I couldn't wait to see it because I'd heard so much about Clockwork Orange. And then I watched Clockwork Orange and, you know, the rest is history. I mean, the movie's tattooed on my arm, so I obviously liked it. But I remember watching Freddy Got Fingered a couple more times that weekend, and I just, I was like, this is genius. This is like the most outrageous movie I have ever seen in my entire life, and I absolutely love every minute of it. You know, you got this slacker, you know, wannabe like cartoon animator, and then you got his dad just like, yeah, you know, I'll support you in this, like, this dream I find lame. Just get out of my house. And he does, and he just, you know, he doesn't make it. He gets so distraught, and then he ends up hooking up with a nurse. He comes back home. His dad pisses his dad off, you know, and then he hooks up with a nurse that just likes to give him oral sex, and then just, like, insanity ensues. It's just, it's, like, the craziest movie I've ever seen. And some of the movies that I really love are out of control chaos, and there's no explanation for it. There's no explanation for how Gord and his dad like fight and argue and carry on. There's no explanation for the dumb crazy shit that Gord does. I mean, a cheese sandwich factory, for crying out loud. I mean, like, there's just no explanation for it, and that to me is funny, because like, that to me, like, in this world, that's normal. So, like, I really gravitated towards that, and I still think it's funny. And, you know, that movie for me was a first for many. Like, they had done a bunch of stuff that, like, I'd never seen any, you know, comedy movie to, like, touch on certain subjects, like taboo subjects that weren't funny, and they went there, and I love it. Like, I understand that it's dumb, but you gotta think, I think that was another genius of Tom Green with this film, is Tom Green's like, if they're expecting me to write, hold on, what's a good movie I could use from that time period? It's like, look, if they're expecting me to write fucking Dances with Wolves, they've got the wrong dude, you know? And, like, I just love it. And I think it's a stroke of genius. It's art. Any movie that you watch is art. Even if it's, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but, like, it's art. It's, like, Tom Green. It's his own style and stuff, and that's what I really loved about it. You can tell, like, they didn't interfere with it at all. Like, had he had the clearance to do some of that shit on MTV, he would have already done it. So yeah, it's a unique film. And like I said, I loved it because I'd never seen a comedy movie that fucking extreme. I mean, he delivers a baby, for Christ's sake, and bites the umbilical cord and swings the fucking baby around. I mean, that shit shouldn't be funny, but it is. And then he goes on that, you know, that rampage about that hospital doesn't like heroes, gets rid of heroes. And just, like, you shouldn't laugh at it, but it's fucking funny. Oh, man. Man. Freddy Got Fingered. But in any case, I'll stop talking about how much I love it. And it's influential, you know? It's just, he kind of laid groundwork, if you really think of that weird, awkward, like, offbeat humor. He laid down the groundwork. Now that's, like, common. Like, you see something like that now, it's just like, oh, you know. Tom Green. I mean, granted, like, you know, I firmly believe, like, the whole viral video shit, I think he had something to do with, like, prior to people being like, well, let me film this weird thing on my phone and put it on TikTok or whatever. You know, I want to say that, like, Tom Green and the Jackass guys are, you know, all the Jackass guys, you know, I'm not, you know, giving credit to Big Brother or the CKY, just Jackass in general, like, Tom Green, Jackass, viral videos and whatnot. But I firmly also believe that this movie ended, like, the gross out comedy genre. So I was talking earlier about the comedy, like, my short, you know, it all theory. Like, I know nothing. You know, one of the reasons I love talking film and stuff is, like, nobody's really right. Like, everybody has their own opinion, and it's just interesting to hear. That's why I love talking film. So I was given kind of like a brief history of, like, comedies and shit. American comedies, at least. I know nothing about anything overseas. So, the Farrelly brothers kind of jump-started it with There's Something About Mary. You know, the nut-sagging cup and the zipper. The only thing that made me cringe was when she sprayed hairspray on it. I'm just like, oh! And the hair gel thing. Like, those are the only two gross out moments. But like the Farrelly brothers kind of like that was like their thing. Like they did bodily humor and like abnormal shit and stuff. Because I did the movie The Siamese Twins. They were kind of like the David Cronenberg of like comedy films. But before that, and here's a guy who don't get too much credit for the gross out genre is John Waters. I haven't seen Mondo Trash or what is the other one? Multiple Maniacs yet. I don't even think Mondo Trash is available like officially. I probably have to go hunt that down as a bootleg. But like, let's start with Pink Flamingos. That movie was done in what, 72? Shit's shocking. Like, that was a movie that made 50 years ago. That shit's still shocking. I think he perfected like the gross out genre. Like the full blown gross out genre that we would later see with like the Something About Mary, American Pie, Scary Movie. I'm pretty sure there's more I'm missing, but those are the three that really stick out. Cause like I remember being a kid not being able to watch a shit. But anyway, back to John Waters. Like he had this thing where it was just kind of like, and that's the thing I love about John Waters is like he had his own voice. I mean, all directors have their own voice, but he had his own voice. And like the stuff that they talked about was unpleasant, but like it was art to him. It was beautiful to him. You know, he's the Pope of Trash, they call him. But yeah, I think he's like the godfather of like the gross out comedy. I mean, like Pink Flamingos, Desperate Living, Female Trouble, Polyester. I love me some Polyester. That's one of my favorite John Waters movies. But so this is 1998-99. And John Waters at that point, I think he did Cecile B. Demented, I think that's what it's called. The movie about all the... I mean, it was kind of a gross-out one. I mean, they all could have sex after they made a movie or lose their virginity after they made a movie. I think that's the premise. I haven't seen it in a while. I do own it. But prior to that, he had done Serial Mom, which was a completely shift. It was kind of like a dark comedy. I mean, all of his movies were somewhat dark. I mean, his early stuff, at least. I'll be getting to the ones prior to that one. And then he did Crybaby, which is kind of like a throwback to the 50s teen films, which is wonderful. And then prior to that, he did Hairspray, and that broke him out. And then they got to the point where he had done Hairspray. I think before that, he had done Polyester. Like I said, I love that movie. He had done Hairspray, and it just, you know, the studios were just like, dude, why don't you do like another one like that? Like not an R-rated film. And they did Crybaby. And then he kind of eased back into it with Serial Mom, and then he did Cecil B. Demented. And then the last movie he did as his podcast, Dirty Shame, that was a gross-out movie, kind of. Like, it was kind of a throwback to all those early ones, like Pink Flamingos and his early films up until Hairspray. So, but you had, there's Something About Mary, and then American Pie, which had the only gag I remember was the dick in the pie. And then, which James Vanderbeek so casually said, you stuck your dick in a pie, to Jason Biggs and Jane Son of Bob Strike Back. And then you had Scary Movie with the glory hole scene. I'm sure there's more gross out gags, but I just remember those being the vocal points of those films because like that's something everybody mentioned. And I hardly believe that Tom Green kind of like ended it because it was like an arms race. I remember that. Like, who could do the crudest comedy? And I remember there's some comedies that came out and they were kind of crude, but, like, they didn't go too far. I can't name them off the top of my head. Like, I can point them out to you. I mean, they had some... I mean, they were more or less crude. They weren't, like, gross. I mean, they were kind of gross. They were kind of in between. But they didn't go that long. But it was, like, an arms race. Like, who could have the crudest comedy ever? And then, like, Tom Green comes and is like, dude, I'm going to get... Dude, he's like, dude, I'm going to win this contest. And he did. I wholeheartedly believe he did it with Freddy Got Fingered. Because, like, after that, I remember that not being a thing. I mean, throughout the 2000s and even now, you'll get some kind of, like, gross out humor per se, kind of sparingly in some of these movies, but like it wasn't just like it's not an arms race anymore like it was, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, that's just by my assumption. So he has mentioned a sequel. Like, not, he's not going to do one. It's not like it's set in stone, but somebody asked him. I watched a clip with him on Larry King some months back, and somebody asked him if he would be interested in. I mean, I would watch it, but as I feel about it right now, I don't think it would be as outrageous as the first one. Or maybe I could be wrong, though. I mean, he could have like a script written or have an idea written for it that could just be that could outdo blow that one out of the water. You know, I don't want to be too dismissive. I love Tom Green. Tom Green's one of my all time favorite comedians and stuff. I need to see him live. So I will mention an honorable mention. Some you have to check out. I just now discovered it on YouTube. I didn't realize it was on YouTube. I was going to scour the internet tonight and go see if it was on like a bootleg site. He did the show. He did the movie. I think the show ended. I think the show had ended. Then he did the movie, or maybe the show ended after he did the movie. I'm not too sure, but he did this special on MTV. I remember watching it at my mom's house, and it was called the Tom Green Subway Monkey Hour. And it's just an hour of him in Japan fucking trolling people. And I want to say that was his series finale from the MTV show. It is hysterical. I hadn't seen that in almost 20 years. I don't know when it was released. I just remember it was one of the last Tom Green things I remember seeing. I was watching that before I did this, and I was howling. I forgot how funny it was. I thought it was funny when it came on, when it first aired, because I had happened to catch it. And at this point, I want to say Jackass was on the air. I want to say Jackass was on the air when he had done his actual show. But I want to say Jackass was on the air when he did the Subway Monkey Hour. And kind of like, they were in the New Kids in Town. So there's like, oh, Tom Green, that's yesterday's news, whatever. You know, or maybe not. Maybe that's just been my assumption of it. But like, that was just so funny. Like, I mean, it wasn't as gritty and as hardcore as Jackass was. I love Jackass, and I loved it back then, and I love it now, but I remember it not being, I mean, it wasn't as gritty as Jackass was, but like, I remember it being as funny. So yeah, please check out the Subway Monkey Hour. It's on YouTube. I think Tom himself uploaded it, and Tom has a really awesome YouTube channel, by the way. He's outdoorsy, you know, he's real mellow and stuff, which if you were to tell the 13-year-old me, he's like mellowed out. He's not wild and crazy. We could live like kings guy, then I'd probably be like, he's probably not funny anymore. He is really funny. I've watched some of his stand-up stuff, and I've been really digging Steve-O's podcast. He was on Steve-O's podcast. Mellow dude. I would love to see him do stand-up someday, and hopefully I can make that happen. But that is all the time I have for this episode. I hope this episode was a lot more organized than the couple. I'm telling you what, this outline helped. It kind of gave me an idea of where to go to next and where to bridge, hopefully. And it's like I said earlier, you know, you have to work on your craft. You're not just going to get good at it by just, you know, just sitting there not doing anything about it. You got to constantly work at it. So that's all I've got. I hope everybody else has a good week. I plan to have us up Friday. I'm planning to do 2 podcasts a week, hopefully, if time permits and if I get a guest. So, and if I get a movie watch, because if my 2 watch pile is like crazy. So, but that's all I have. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to give me a like. Actually, remember to subscribe to me. I am on every major podcast network, like not network, but podcast host provider, whatever you want to call it. I'm on Google, I'm on Apple, I'm on Spotify, and I'm on Anchor. Give me a like on my Instagram page, which is located on my Anchor homepage. It's I fucking love this movie, but I don't have the UNC. So it's IF King love this movie Instagram. The homepage for this, really. So I'm rambling. I don't want to ramble. I thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, everybody, thank you.